Greetings in the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Chapter 66, the last of 14 in the Paradise section. Removing the Death Veil. Scriptures. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. And he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off of all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. As thou hast loved me, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John 17, verses 17 to 26. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Luke 9, verses 23 to 27. And Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Being then carried and held in such a place as to behold the entire scope and circumference of the earth, I saw that the nations upon the earth had come to the full measure of iniquity and false assumptions about their persons. The entire earth was blanketed in a very dark shroud, like a black, thick fog, which was the first death, the death that is unaware of the Lord because of the activated carnal mind, This veil of death covered every portion of land and sea. The entire earth was choked in this thick veil, and yet men loved to have it so. Men rejoiced in their carnality and in the veil which covered them, and they did not see in themselves anything that they thought was not life. So deluded had the earth become in this mystery of iniquity. The veil, then, was the first death which covered men. But in this time it had grown to such a dense fog of blackness that nothing could be seen through the fog because of its intensity. I saw then God descend and begin to release his creation and mankind from this fog. As God descended to the earth, he pressed forward his spirit and began to lift this fog to deliver mankind from it. This was then in my understanding of Isaiah 25 and verse 7, that this was the veil spread over all nations. However, as God began to lift this veil from off of mankind, I saw that there were in the earth some very large and high mountains, and some very low and deep valleys. As God was lifting this veil, the mountains resisted God and refused to give up the height of this fog unto God. The valleys also gathered in the blackness even greater and would not yield to the lifting of this veil of death that God was doing at this time. Both the mountains and the valleys held on to this fog, resisted God who did this, and tried not to yield or to surrender unto God the realm of the first death which men loved. And that scripture from John chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Again, that was from John chapter 3, verses 17 to 21, and first vision. Second vision. I saw the company of those who are still overcoming as one man upon a cross. Very clearly, I saw the nails driven in the hands and in the feet as this one was crucified in weakness and was being surrendered up unto death. This company in this vision was the company of those who will form the victorious army of the Lord, those who will be granted the title of they that have overcome, even as I overcame, and who will be granted the right to sit with the Lord upon the throne of glory for eternity. These to whom the promise of the first resurrection was given, it was those who I saw impaled upon this cross. What I saw around the cross was the earth and the nations and the dealings of the Lord in the nations and in the affairs of men. I saw the Lord working in a great shaking in the earth and in pouring out his fury upon the nations who were ungodly and who rejoiced in the crucifixion of this one man who was dying upon the cross. The scripture, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because of these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Revelation 11, verses 8 to 10. As the nations rejoiced, the Lord increased the shakings. And as the shakings increased, the level of tribulation and problems among men increased in the earth. As these things increased, the body of the one man upon the cross got heavier upon the nails. This body sagged more and more under the weight of its own flesh upon the cross, even while the tribulation in the earth increased. I saw that the nails held fast to the hands and feet, but the holes made increased in size, and the weight and the pain of the cross also increased. So it is at this present time for those who are overcoming. The cross is becoming more greater, not lesser, and the world is increasing in great tribulation, not less. Both these things are happening together at this time. End vision. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with a fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 23 and 24. A little paragraph in here, a prophecy from a person by the name of Glenn H. Jackson. This is very short. Truly I say to you, in this last hour, I am raising up a group who shall minister absolute truth in the fullness of conviction, the fullness of my power and love. And as they go forth with my compassion burning in their heart, the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power abiding within them shall be continually released upon all who cross their path. And miracles, such as the earth has never seen before, shall manifest to a continually greater degree. And Satan and his forces shall experience a terror that I have reserved for him until this time. Let this one thing become perfectly clear in the hearts of all those who truly love me. Cast down any ground of self-desire, for if it is not cast down in a spirit of true repentance, then the leaven of it, which is unrighteousness, shall surely consume them, and they shall become impotent in the face of Satan's assignment of destruction and death against them. And that's the end of the prophecy from Glenn H. Jackson. Now back to my writing. The most wonderful truth about the New Jerusalem is the fact that nothing unclean or defiled can enter into its gates nor abide in its streets or lands. The city of the Lord cannot be found with any defilement. It is a picture completed of the body of Christ, joined vitally to the head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and by which this body is formed. The city is the same as the church. Both are synonymous. In my doctrine, I see the two witnesses, the body of Christ, the church of the living God, which was created by the Lord when he began to build it in the book of Acts, and the New Jerusalem as being all the same thing. Each aspect, though, has a different purpose. The church is the visible presence of believers in Jesus that walks about on the earth now. The New Jerusalem is the glorified version of this church. The two witnesses would then be the body of Christ, in contradiction to this present world order, and the life of man in pride against the things of the Lord. I do not see the arising of the two witnesses so much as a future event, as it is also a present reality of the Lord's body in the earth, since Jesus ascended. There will be an arising of those who have overcome, who will manifest in this manner, but it will be a corporate expression of the Lord, not individual. Some maintain that it will be two individuals. I say that I agree, but they will be corporate individuals, a group of people who form the Lord's body, fully yielded to his will in every respect and allowing the Lord full sway in their lives in this time of increased trouble in the world itself. At this present time, the individuals who are allowed to walk the street of gold in the midst of the New Jerusalem are people who have been made holy and completely righteous and who bear no duality. There is, at the first, a small group, a small company, who will enter by the gates into this city to, in time, manifest fully the holiness of the Lord through their very persons. In my doctrine, I believe that one cannot fully enter the New Jerusalem in the complete sense of the word if there is any source of flesh or duality of the fallen nature in them, and that includes the carnal mind. The Lord is presently working on that little company remnant who will enter first into the full expression of the Lord when he appears. These are the overcomers, those who apprehended that for which the Lord apprehended them. They are running a race, not of time or distance, but of endurance, to capture the prize. The prize being to be found in him, and with nothing of the old former nature remembered or known ever again. The prize to them is to be complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. These who are overcoming all things still know they wrestle with a duality. They still have the memory of flesh, the existence of flesh arising in them to oppose their faith and to thwart their forward progress in the overcomer's walk. But the day is coming when they will enter this city, which will descend and settle upon the earth in absolute purity and holiness, and in total contradiction to all the systems and kingdoms of men in the world. So at the first, the city is restricting its entry to these selected few who will bear the full glory of the Lord without measure. But then the city will grow. For not only does the city require absolute holiness on the part of the individual to enter it, but the city will grow in time to envelop not just the entire earth and all the nations, but also the expanse and scope of the cosmos itself, including all ages and time periods previously done in this created world. The veil of death will be removed in a single stroke through the lives of they that overcame, for they will be in the city to expand it and to bring it to full measure, not just here and now, but for everyone in all time and in all dimensions of each nation that does now or ever did exist. The ministry of the expansion of the city of the Lord will cover those that are dead as well as those that are living. There will be no difference between them. There will be a literal time of this manifesting. It will be happening, and the overcomers will be seen in glorified bodies manifesting this kingdom which has no end. In prophecy, I will say to you the following. Prophecy through Kenneth B. Vischer, I will say to you the following. That the Lord is working in two ways in the world at this time. First of all, he is allowing all things in the world that relates to the life of men to come to a pinnacle. By all things, I mean all things religiously, politically, and economically in this world. Know this, that the Lord created the nations, but he never created governments. Man created governments. And all that is governed by man includes all things economic, political, and religious. And it is all that man has governed that will come to this high pinnacle of iniquity, a high tower as has never been before. Men will come to a place of perplexity in the world which will never have been known before. Perplexity that will have no answer or solution. So high will this pinnacle be that the height of it will be beyond anything pride has known before. That is the first thing the Lord is doing. He is allowing the rule of man to reach this pinnacle that has not been seen ever before, not even during the first creation, which was destroyed by the flood, or the Tower of Babel, which men built to make a name for themselves. The tower they built now dwarfs the first one in the book of Genesis. So high has this become that the cup of iniquity, which was full, is overflowing. And the first work of the Lord is to bring this all to an immense head. The second thing the Lord is doing in the world of men, in the earth right now, is that he is only at the early stages of the shakings of this pinnacle. He is beginning to shake this pinnacle, which in the days ahead of us will unfold as insurmountable problems. In this shaking, the Lord is going to expose the hearts of men and their feeble attempt to look so wise. The refuge of lies which has been created in scientific theory will be exposed as false, and the refuge of lies which has been created by the governments of men to protect themselves will be utterly laid bare. The shakings you will see now will bring with them absolute chaos, for the Lord will shake all things together in such a way that men will not be able to do anything or find any solution, nor will they be able to trust one another with political thrusts or attempts at truces or treaties. All such will wane into deception as the shakings continue. The pinnacle of high pride will shake right to the ground and then to the very foundations, and all that men have built in the past will be exposed and crumbled to shreds by the shaking that the Lord is only but beginning to do in this world and in the lives of men. So when you see the shakings and you see the pinnacle of man reached to a height that is unsurpassed, see also another miracle that the Lord is about to do. For right in the height of this, and right on time, is the personal crosses for for the overcomers will end. Again, for right in the height of this iniquity, and right on time, the personal crosses for the overcomers will end. Their flesh will be completely removed from them by the death to self process, and the Lord will glorify his company of overcomers. The world, in the midst of this shaking and this torment of no answers, will then have added to the mix the glorified army of the Lord. These will be seen coming forth in bodies which cannot die, bodies eternal, bodies that are clothed with the light of the Lord's city, bodies that are raised as was Jesus' body from the tomb 2 millenniums ago. These will come forth with the Lord in front of them, and they will utterly destroy all that remains of man's pinnacle of pride, and they will bring to a complete end the shakings of the Lord in the earth. And I'm saying to you that in literal time, when this happens, that only 1 hour will be needed to bring a total end to the rule of men. Only 1 hour will it take for the world to behold those who have overcome and who now will take this creation called the earth back into a curseless state. When you watch the newscasts or read about things happening in the world, things whether they be political, economic, or religious, know that it is the pinnacle being built and the shakings happening all at the same time. We have only just begun to see things happen which will increase in intensity more and more as time marches on. This is all coming to a conclusion when the Lord himself will manifest his overcomers, and they, with perfect rank and order, will bring an end to the rule of men in a single stroke. Then the inhabitants of the nations will bring the glory of their nations, minus the government of men, into the city of the Lord, the city which demands absolute purity and holiness, and that which is created new is slated to grow and expand and to cover the entire earth and to swallow up all the kingdoms of the earth into its gates and walls. Nothing shall be left out of the city except that which is the ungodly, unclean, fallen portion of man's demise. Each soul in perfect order shall come into this and shall find their comfort in the waters of life, in the tree of life, in the midst of the street of the river, and in the pasture lands of the Mount Zion, in the midst of this holy place. Man shall then see the Lord's face, and shall be glad that they were chosen to be brought into his glorious presence. Great indeed shall this unfolding be, as men cease from their own way, and come into the full presence of the Lord. This honor to complete this work has fallen upon those who overcame. As scripture, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This image was mighty, and whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the aspect thereof was terrible. As for this image, its head was of fine gold, and its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 to 35, American Standard Version. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.